Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
Glory and honor be unto your holy name. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, let's put our hands together. Let's put our hands together and give him all the highest praise we can. All the highest praise you can. All the highest praise you can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much, music team. Thank you. We have a few minutes to... Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. Today is day 20. We're moving on to day 21 this evening. As we wrap up the 21 days with the Holy Spirit, not 21 days of Holy Spirit wrapping up. Amen. We are doing the 21 days with the Spirit, fasting and worshiping, not because that after the 21 days, Holy Spirit is over, but just to make you understand, for us to come back again, that you see, the primary role of a believer, which is a mystery. The primary role of a believer, which is a mystery, is the stewarding of a person. Every other form of religion is about sets of beliefs. But the primary role as a believer, as a follower of Christ, is the stewarding of a person. I know they have taught us principles. They are good. Principles come out from presence. But if you can stay with the presence, there's no amount of principles that will be limited to you. You will come out with divert principles every time. Where people say there's a casting down, you'll be lifting up your voice and say, can't you see? Why? Because our walk with Christ is not a set of principles. It's not a set of beliefs. It's the stewarding of a person. That you get to a situation that you were faced with last year. Exact same situation. And that situation last year called that you start saving. But you come into the situation this year. Exact same situation. And it calls you to start, you know what? To start giving. And you say, no, that's not what you told me last year. Say, no. I'm not a set of principles. I'm a person. You see, there's one part in the Bible, I think Proverbs 26, today's 27, 26, I think one of them said, do not answer a fool. Then the next verse, they say, answer a fool. But you just told me not to answer a fool. Then the next verse, they say, answer a fool. I'm confused. If I don't answer a fool and I keep quiet, then I can't open my mouth. So, the 21 days with the Holy Spirit, we're fasting and worshiping. It's just, we want him to move like never before in our lives first. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work within you. It's according to the power, according to how you have allowed yourself, you have yielded yourself to him. That is when your desire is his own desire. So that when you ask anything or think anything, it's about his thought. So when Isaiah was saying, my thoughts are higher than your thought, does not mean that you cannot get that thought. It means that you should yield and come up. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, there's a scenario. Today I want to talk about believers contaminating the word. Believers contaminating the word. The Bible says large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And what did Jesus say? Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing. He said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. You see, I don't understand this. Jesus, whether you like it or not, in his operation, he was operating in the Old Testament. He had not died. So he was empowered by God. And that's the same way we have been empowered. Jesus came to demonstrate how a believer should live here on earth. And so when he was going, he said, greater things you will do. So that means that he didn't do everything. He didn't do it as God. He did it fully, 100% man. And what was the ability? He was sinless, and he had the Holy Spirit. He had the power. Same thing. You are the righteousness of God. And you are empowered by the Spirit. The same thing. The same empowerment. That you are not seeing what Jesus did operating in your life is not the issue at all. Your experience cannot lower the standard. So all you need to do is to upgrade your experience to the standard. You don't reduce the standard to your experience. Look at what the man said, no faith at all. If you are willing. Is God bad? And you must understand, why am I talking about believers contaminating the word? You know, we actually believe that sin is powerful than holiness. And that's why some people will tell you, don't go to that place, very dark, or you'll backslide. Am I saying that you should go to everywhere? No, there are some places you are sent to and it's dark. And who says your own house is not dark? You are going to be operating in some sphere of influence that is dark. You meet some people who are in the other side, who are telling you to come and join them. And you must tell them that you will follow the one who is the head of all principalities. If they ask you the person, you say, don't worry, come and meet me, I will show you the person. And you know, you must learn how to talk half-half talk in the marketplace. Because you are not talking as a Christianese, you are talking power talk. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In the Old Testament, if you touch a leprous person, you are now unclean. And Jesus demonstrated something that he touched a leprous person. What was in his life cleansed him. So that means that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has positioned us positionally as a believer to contaminate the world. To contaminate the world with righteousness. You are the one that should contaminate the word righteousness. The people on the other side are contaminating the word with sin. They are contaminating the word with unholiness. And most times we tend to cower in believing that they have more power than we. Jesus came 400 years, no voice of God. He came and the place was dark. And he operated fully empowered and submitted to God. That means that you can come into a place fully empowered by God and you can start recruiting and contaminating the people around you. So you must understand that sin should not be taken lightly, but we should be aware of the power of holiness. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. That means you are holy. You may still have some issues with lifestyle of unholiness. But positionally, you are holy. The only thing is that you have not tapped into that ability inside of you to start living a holy life. You see, Holiness is what you is who you are because you host God. Yeah, you may still have a... Okay, let me try to put it. A baby is either a boy or a girl. It's not when he grows, we'll now know who he is. He may not know how to walk. He may not know how to talk. He may not even know how to hold his neck. But he's a human being. Same thing, you gave your life to Christ. The Holy Spirit has possessed you. And the Holy Spirit cannot be roommates with the devil. You may not know how to live the life. But the moment you start connecting with the one who bettered you and start submitting to instructions, then you will be able. You didn't know how to walk. And so you must, you see, just imagine Daniel without the Holy Spirit, living righteously in the Babylonian kingdom until the highest man in the kingdom submitted. You know, sometimes we actually believe that we are powerless. And so, the only way we want to show or to hide away from our powerlessness is say, well, all we can do is to just pray. As if prayer, so the way we talk about prayer is about prayer is the last and only resort that does not even work. But let's just be exercising and saying as if we are doing something. And that's not what prayer is all about. Prayer is giving God access into the earthly realm. And if you understand that, you won't joke with your prayer time. And the person living on the inside of you is the one empowering you to pray. And so Jesus came into that place, saw a man who had no faith and said, I'm willing, touched the man with his holiness. Same thing. You can get into different places. Your home, your family. To the extent that you now carry the loving of the kingdom. You see, when you see dough may be so big, but the yeast is very weak. It doesn't make sense. Just leave the yeast there. Because you must understand that holiness is more powerful than sin. Because holiness is the purity of Christ in you. And that's what the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, do I have a lifestyle of sin? Yes. But you are a boy at birth or girl. At birth, in the new birth in Christ, all things are passed away. You have become a new creature. And when we're talking about a new creature, that new creature that nobody has ever seen. And so when God formed you, he destroyed the mold. You're original. So, what is the will of God? The will of God is Jesus Christ personified. Everything you see Jesus did is the will of God. Everything. So, if somebody says sickness was brought in by God to punish you, then Jesus will be working against his Father. Oh, let me repeat it again. I've seen people sick and say, God brought it to afflict me so that it teaches me. Imagine if you did this to your children, you'll be arrested for child abuse. Your child do something, you open his arm, put pepper. And you say, and the child will not say, because I did something, that's why they... And that's why Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself. It is not the will of God that you will be sick. It's not the will of God that things around you will be sick. It's not the will of God that the nation that God has put you in will be sick. It's not the will of God. What brings about it is man fell, sin entered into this world. Man was redeemed, but you see, not everybody has accepted it. So, every time you plant good seed, somebody will go and plant bad seed. And that's why you must now bring out your what you carry on the inside, the person you are stewarding, to actually contaminate places. That's why you leak. So you must be filled. You say, why must I pray every day? Yes. One baptism, but different feelings. Why? Because you leak. You leak the presence of God. You leak the presence of God. And so how do I contaminate the word? I must be conscious of his presence. I must be conscious of his presence. I must understand that anywhere I go to, I leak the presence of God. You see, when you connect a hose to a tap and the water is running, no matter where you keep that pipe in, dirty water, whether you put inside dirty water or anything, nothing can get into that pipe because water is constantly running out of the pipe. But the moment the water ceases and the pipe is inside the mud, it will start entering. Just take yourself like a bag of water that has holes that leak. As long as there's water filling the bag, it's constantly full, but it's constantly leaking. That is who you are as a believer. How do I carry the person of the Holy Spirit and dispense it, and at the same time, being submitted to him? No wonder the Bible says Jesus will rise up early in the morning before dawn. Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 43 and 43 to 48. That means that you must be conscious of what is going on around you. So conscious. And it's not one day, it's not a one-day practice. In these 21 days, we have taught you how the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in fact, how to train your human brain, your human spirit, meditating on the Word of God, praying in the Spirit, obeying. Listen, in the Old Testament, you obey, then you are blessed. In the New Testament, you are blessed, and what comes out is the fruit of obedience. If you are not obeying, that means that you do not know what you carry. That means that you are not developing fruits. Does it mean that when in the New Testament I'm blessed, I should not obey? No, that's not what I'm saying. It's a natural fruit that will grow because, you know why? You are carrying the person. You are stewarding the person that loves you very well. If you know how much God loves you, what will happen in your life is this, is that you want to disappoint him. It's not that he will kill you. He killed himself for you. So what more can he not give to you? He released his spirit inside of you. What can the enemy do to you? In Luke chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus was talking about the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says a woman in the crowd has suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she had no cure. I can't read it very well. Luke chapter 8. A woman in the crowd has suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding and she couldn't find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus says, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she has been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." The translation says there, "Go into peace." Your natural state as a believer is peace. You know what? How are you so conscious of the presence that when something leaves you, you know? No, there were many people touching him, but there was the touch. The touch that was pulled. And that's your, you see, sometimes when we, let me try to tell you. When you read about Jesus, don't say, that's Jesus. Please stop it. If that's what you do, just stop it. The Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4:2, shall arise with healing. Jesus is the begotten. Also, you are begotten now. He was first begotten. All of us are begotten. So we are Son of Righteousness, arising with healing. Oh, you have been commissioned to heal. You have been commissioned to heal. When some people say, I have a call because I healed, I say, no, that's for every believer. They say, I prophesy and come to pass. I say, that's for every believer. He said that you may all prophesy. That's for every believer. It's the common thing you should be taking as appetizer. He the secrets, the dead, cast out devils. Those are the common things. Those are the standard. So Jesus was so conscious of the presence and he was carrying it well that when power left him, he knew. You must be so conscious of the presence that when you get into a situation, you will know. And it has to do with constant practice. With constant practice. That even people around you will know that when you come into this place, something just happens. Because naturally, you are supposed to be an atmosphere shifter. You are the light of the world, understand? There is nobody in darkness when light comes does not blink and say, what's this? And so when you see Jesus operate in some dimensions, understand that he came to demonstrate what you can do and much more. Because I never saw the shadow of Jesus healing anybody. And so he said, go into peace. You are a peace carrier. Because peace is not about the situation. The peace is not the absence of something. Peace is the presence of a person. It's the presence of a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In Luke chapter 10, and you find out in Genesis 8, 6, and 9, when in Genesis 8, 6, and 9, you see when Noah released the bird. That's what Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 10. Say, when you get into a home, say shalom. So some people ask, why do you put just say shalom in this place? It's not a religious word, I beg you. Neither are we trying to form a cliche, don't we want to know? And that's our greeting, no? So, sometimes people say good morning. I say, what's the meaning of good morning? You know the funniest thing, you don't even know. It's what you have been told, good morning. And in this world, good is not the ultimate in the world. But in the kingdom, good is a standard. For everything that God created was good. Good. There's no good, good, or goodest in the kingdom. In the world, there's good, better, best. So I look at you this morning, I say, good morning, Pastor Felix. Good morning. Uh-huh. Somebody will ask you, what's good about the morning? You see, some people in the other side, they will greet each other, Assalamu alaikum. Why? Same thing, shalom. The revival that came through the person of Apostle Ogboma, you find them greeting like this, Ofunwegbo Saguero. That means that the peace of God be with you. That's what they were always saying. He used peace to bring in people who were deep in idol worship. All local priestess were giving their life to him. He brought out worship. He will sing. An atmosphere will change. People that were going to fly could not fly again. He sees, you don't understand. All their he crippled them. then they understand that power passes power. So he released shalom, and shalom entered their homes. Because peace is a two-edged sword. It's coming to the believer and destructive to darkness. Oh, you didn't understand. So when we say shalom, shalom, people just do it. They say, if we don't do it now, we'll be. It's coming to the believer, but destruct it. How do I know? Romans chapter 16, verse 20. So that you understand that as you release peace, if there is darkness in that place, it crushes it. He told the woman, go into peace. So that you are calm forever. You see, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So when I get into a home that is being under siege, I carry a person. The dove is inside. So you see, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's a topic you keep on saying until Jesus comes. Because you cannot understand God fully. It's a constant pursuit. You don't know that there's dove inside of you. There was dove inside the ark. You are the ark of God. The same material they used to do the basket that they put Moses, same material for the ark. There was peace, the dove. The dove went, came back because there was nowhere to land. When they sent it the last time, it didn't come back again. He came back one time with an olive. The United Nations calls that one peace. They got it right sometimes. That's the symbol of peace in the United Nations. A dove with the olive branch. Where did they get it? The moment peace found where to stay. So when you get to a home or you see somebody, he may not understand what you are saying. Say shalom. The dove has taken off. He'll be resting on his head. It's crushing Satan. And all the things. As you get into a home, shalom, everyone. You are releasing dough. They say, and the God of peace. Imagine you have peace, you are calm. When you release it, so our ability, you see, to release that peace, it is more powerful if you can recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. So when you are saying shalom, you know you are contaminating the word. In 3 days' time, avalanche. He said, how can you just sing and the word trans? I don't know. But that's what you said we should do. And because I'm not serving you, am I serving you? No. Am I say, what you are just saying for theater? Are you go and get a life? In Acts 15, when Apostle James, when they saw what was going on, he remembered Amos chapter 9. He said, on the last day, I will restore the tabernacle of David. And things will start happening fast. to the extent that kings will submit themselves. They don't understand why they submit. There is nowhere that the dove cannot enter. Nowhere. The only problem is that we are not releasing it. Rise on your feet and let's release some. If you are watching us by way of online or any of our handle, you're a believer, you leak, you carry God's presence. Come on, I want you to picture in your mind where you think shalom should go. Maybe your workplace, you're there listening to me and you're in the workplace and something is telling you this place is very unrighteous. It's too dirty, I better leave here before they contaminate me. If God has put you there, there's a purpose. Daniel was put in the Babylon until the king submitted. Daniel served four kings and he was so relevant. Two Babylonian kings and two Persian kings. Come on, lift up your voice and just begin to release shalom right now. In your mind, the area, it may be your father's house, I release shalom. It may be your brother or your sister that is far from the Lord. Paint a bull's eyes on that person and release shalom. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. It may be our nation or the nation you live in. I don't care about the plans that people have. They can't be bigger than God. They can't be bigger than God. No president is our savior. No president. Come on, lift up your voice. Zabara Kadiaba. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Ibala Kadiabara Rosokura Kadia. Lord, we release shalom over our city. Benin City. We release shalom over the forest where people are doing mayhem. Where kidnappers then is. Lord, we release shalom. Let your ultimate vengeance of salvation visit that place. Can I hear you pray? Can I hear you pray? Release shalom over your hometown. Release shalom over your city. Release shalom in that area that is not so, where you have problems, kidnapping, raping, maiming, things there and there. Come on, release shalom. Lord, we release shalom over our city, the four corners of our cities. We release shalom there. Over the government house, we release shalom. Ora kabasakaria bararosa, bale kabararosakaria bararoskara. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, King of Kings. We bless your name. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Mighty God, we release shalom. Mara kabasakaria bararosa. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, we are before the communion table. This communion is a meal that honors the Lord, but also has a military effect. And so, Father, we thank you. Your blood, your body took care of sickness and disease. The sickness in cities. Lord, we ask as we take the communion, bring healing to our city and our nation. As we partake of the cup, the blood that sets free, set us free from every yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus. Every yoke of tyranny and terrorism in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop. Or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.